Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful day. It is absolutely gorgeous outside, but it is also extremely cold, and it is supposed to get colder, and weather forecast is for us to have some snow, maybe even some ice, and so we look to that. I hope that you're staying warm where you are. Of course, today we've also seen the inauguration of Donald Trump as president, and we certainly want to be in prayer for him as he begins his administration for our nation in this period. Looking to God and God alone is our strength, our shield, the one who can protect us, provide for us, how our mind and heart ought to be turning to our Lord and seeking him for our nation. I hope that you've been looking forward today to our time together with the Lord at whatever time it is that you watch this. I know I look forward to these times. It's an encouragement for me for us to be together in God's Word. I'm thankful for Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But I'm just so thankful that the Lord calls us to know Him, draws us to Him, gives us this time to meet with Him because He wants us to grow in His grace. And so as we begin, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you have given to us, Lord. It is absolutely beautiful. Father, we're thankful, O God, for the wonderful provisions that you have given to us, Lord. Warm clothes, warm houses, Father, heat. Father, you have blessed us so much. Father, most of all, for the spiritual blessings. Father, for the wonder of salvation that you've given to us through your Son. Father, that you love us in spite of our sinfulness so much that you want to save us from our sin, save us from hell, reconcile us to yourself, bring us into a relationship with you. Father, you want us to know you've given us this time, Lord, to seek your face and to hear from you. Lord, as we open your word, Father, please do help us to understand what it says. We need you to do that. We can't do that apart from you. But Lord, may we not just have a head understanding of the passage, but oh Lord God, lead us in a heart knowledge of you. May we grow in your grace. May we be drawn closer to you. May we know you, we pray, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we go through life, it is so easy for us to get preoccupied with our problems, the decisions we have to make, the needs that we face, frankly, just everyday life. And periodically, in fact, daily, in fact, it's probably more, you know, several times through the day, we need to turn our heart back to God, not just to bring our needs before Him, but in fact, to seek Him. And it's a wonderful when we turn our hearts toward the Lord and we see Him in His grace and His goodness and His glory and His majesty, His mercy. In fact, it enables us to trust Him more, and it causes us to want to seek Him more. We're, in fact, drawn even closer to Him. We worship Him. We adore Him. As we open God's Word today to Psalm 65, we see this thought expressed, this wonderful psalm inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through David. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who inspired David to write this. But in this wonderful psalm, you think about how David was led to begin it in verse 1. Therefore, there will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed. You, even in that first verse, you see David with this sense of awe and wonder and adoration and worship and trust unto the Lord. And you know, as we think about this psalm, David is in fact going to lead us to think about God's wonderful work in our life. And as we look at this psalm, remember it's Hebrew poetry, and Hebrew poetry is different from what most of us think about in terms of poetry. We always think about words rhyming or in you know, some sort of similarity in lines. Hebrew poetry has a parallel thoughts, and so we're going to try to group these verses together or looking at those individual thoughts. And as we think about this wonderful God that David turns to think about and to contemplate, that we at this time, whatever time it is for you, need to stop and contemplate, what we see is the fact that, number one, he hears prayer. Think about what we see in verses 2 and verse 5. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Look at verse 5. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation, you who are the trust of the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea. You think about that. This great God, sovereign, omnipotent, unlimited in every way, perfectly wise in every way, this great God who rules and reigns over everything, owns everything, this great God listens to our prayer, invites us to pray to Him. You know, several times we've looked at Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite Bible verses, where God says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And just imagine for a moment, if you will, a situation, you know, pretend that you are the part-time high school employee working, you know, in the mailroom or maybe cutting grass at some business that's actually owned by a corporation, that's owned by some sort of multinational corporation over which all of this huge conglomerate is this CEO, and you're there cutting the grass one afternoon, or you're there in the mailroom, and that CEO comes by, introduces himself to you, gives him his personal cell phone number, and tells you anytime you need him, day or night, call him directly. He will answer you, and whatever you need from his unlimited resources, both corporate and personal, he'll take care of it for you. That's exactly what we have with God. This great God who rules and reigns over all things, in fact, invites us to seek Him. Now, I know that's a silly illustration, but that's probably the closest that we can comprehend of God inviting us to His throne of grace. You think about what we see over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where as a result of Christ's work, it says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That burden that you have today, He invites you to come. And He does not limit what He will in fact do in that situation. Going back to our psalm, look at verses 6 through 8. Who establishes the mountains by His strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You know, I commented just a few moments ago how beautiful this day is. It's been rainy a couple of days ago. Now it's a beautiful blue, clear sky. It's cold, but it is crisp, crystal clear outside. The air is crisp, out cold. But we also know the forecast is for a storm system to come through, snow, frozen rain, ice. You think about the God who rules and reigns over all of that. And the power it takes to do all that is nothing for Him. It is this great God who invites us to pray, who listens to our prayer. Now, obviously, that ought to encourage us to seek Him, and whatever burden or problem or need or temptation or whatever it may be that you're facing today, He invites you to come with it. But it also ought to cause us just to stop and contemplate what a wonderful, awesome God we have, not just with His power, His capability, but His heart, His love, just simply His character. How that ought to cause us to worship Him. What a God we have. We not only see, you know, the fact that He answers our prayer and He invites us to pray, but we see as well that He forgives. You think about verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. This great, incredible, almighty, unlimited God forgives our sins. Understand why forgiveness is in fact possible. He is merciful and kind and gracious. He is also holy and righteous. To forgive, the sin still has to be dealt with, but it's a death penalty for us. But in His love, mercy, and grace, He has provided a way that He can, in fact, provide the forgiveness of sins. And that was, in fact, through the giving of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came, lived, took all of our sinfulness and our sin upon Him, and died in our place, rose again to give eternal life. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. What an awesome salvation. And if you do not know Christ, if you've never trusted Him, I invite you today to place your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, to believe in Him for your salvation, to be reconciled unto God, to be given eternal life. But then just stop and think about that. This great, almighty God desires to forgive us and has made that forgiveness possible. But that also applies, and we can continue on with the forgiveness that we need in our everyday life as believers. Unfortunately, we still commit acts of sin, even as believers. We think things we shouldn't think. We allow attitudes to fester in our heart that should not be there. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do, or sometimes we don't do what we should do. Those things are sins. And why, as believers, we don't lose our salvation. We do lose our closeness with the Lord. And yet God has made forgiveness possible. And again, that forgiveness is based upon what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if there's anything, believer, between you and God today that needs to be dealt with, stop this video right now and meet with the Lord. Confess it. Be forgiven. Be cleansed. Get that fellowship renewed with God. But then once you have done that, stop and think about it. Here is this great God. How wonderful is He that He wants us to be right with Him eternally through salvation, but also moment by moment through the confession and dealing with sins in our life as a believer. What a wonderful God we have who has in fact made forgiveness possible. What an awesome God. What a God we have to worship and to adore, to praise, to thank, to trust, to follow, to obey. But you think about what else God does. We also see that number three, He satisfies. Now, I know that might sound somewhat vague. It might even sound somewhat weak. But that's actually the wording that's used in this passage. You think about what we see in verse 4. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Satisfied. That sense of contentment and fullness from within. Now you can contrast that with the way that most people live their lives. Unfortunately, even believers, the frantic running to try to fill. You know, when you analyze the way most people live their lives, just in a panic-stricken rush, it becomes pretty obvious that the reason that most people live in a panic-stricken rush is simply because they look around and everyone else is living in a panic-stricken rush, and they get the mindset that's the normal thing to do, so therefore they do it, and they don't find it any more fulfilling than those people that they were watching. And not only does all that running not fulfill, it actually creates more emptiness when they simply are physically, mentally, and emotionally, and most of all spiritually worn out at the end of all of it. You think of the frantic filling through possessions, through toys, through status symbols that most people try to pour into their life and they're never satisfied. I remember one time working for an individual, my first day at work, his 31-foot sailboat was being delivered. It's beautiful. But then he looked in the slip ahead of his, and there was a 33-foot sailboat there. And he pointed that one out to me and said, "Now that is a nice boat." His 31-foot sailboat had just been put in the water, and he was already less than completely satisfied with it because he saw a 33-footer ahead of him. You know, I know of a couple, a believing couple, who know the Lord. And yet their entire life is spent running. After another possession, another experience, another trip. And those things are fine. Whenever God gives those things to you, enjoy them. Be thankful. Keep them in their perspective. But as you look at their lives, it becomes obvious that, you know, it doesn't seem like there's so much running to things. You get the impression they're trying to run away from the emptiness of life. And you can never, ever, ever run that fast. And yet Christ Himself gives the wonderful filling that we need in life. Again, you think of verse 4, how blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. I've always loved what Augustine wrote. He says, you have made, and I'll put it more modern English. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. But we look to the Lord for that rest. There is a fullness there that cannot be found in anything else. You think about what, again, David was inspired to write in Psalm 4:7, where it says, you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. What an awesome God we have. He satisfies. But not only does he satisfy, but then notice as well, number 4, he blesses. Look at verses 9 through 13. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Obviously, looking at God's wonderful work of creation and the blessing he puts upon this earth. But remember these people, because you know, very much an agricultural-based society and culture, they lived off that blessing. That blessing meant God's blessing upon their life. But you think about the blessings that God has given to us. Certainly the physical blessings. You know, if you were able to get up, even turn on your PC or whatever, phone or whatever it is you watch this on, just having that ability, what a blessing that is from God. You think of the emotional blessings, the love of family or friends. Most of all, the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ. We are for a God who truly, wonderfully blesses us. You know, even today, you know, again, it's a very, very cold day. But you think of the blessings of this day. There's the physical beauty as I look out the window. Absolutely crystal clear blue sky. What a wonderful blessing. But, you know, even in the winter, which a lot of people don't like, you know, you think about it. During the winter, we get to wear these nice, thick, soft clothes and just kind of get to bundle up and cuddle up in them. It's a real pleasure. It's a real joy. You think again, family, friends, most of all, the fullness, the richness that Jesus Christ brings into our life, that wonderful blessing of his hand upon us. What a wonderful God we have. No wonder David was moved with awe and wonder and worship. And no wonder it motivated him to obey, to serve, to live for. All because he stopped to think about this great God. Take a moment. Think about this God that we are before, who rules, he reigns, forgives, he answers, he satisfies, he blesses. Turn your heart toward him. Your heart will be filled with worship. It'll direct and cause your will to want to obey. And it will cause you to want to seek his face. Let's go to him in prayer. Fathers, we're before you. We do praise you for being the great and wonderful, glorious God that you are. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. You listening to our prayers, you inviting us to pray. Father, for the satisfaction that only you give, and oh God, the more than satisfaction, the wonderful blessings that you overfill our life with. Father, may we walk with you. We praise you. We love you. We submit to you. Oh God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as a result of our turning our hearts toward the Lord in this time, that as you walk through the day, that you'll walk closely with him, that you'll feel his hand upon you, that you'll sense his guidance, that your heart will be filled with awe and worship, that you'll walk in obedience, that in spite of whatever it is that you're going through, you'll be able to trust because of this great God that we have to trust. and that by having your heart and mind turned toward Him, that you will have a great day in Him.